The Zone is presented by Guarantee Foods, delivering all-natural food to Midwestern families since 1958. Enjoy healthier food, more free time, free delivery, and better value. Go to GuaranteeFoods.com.
Welcome back to The Zone, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Sterling Holmes, Dylan Michaels behind the glass, Mick Schaefer in studio. Mick, how are you?
So good. I'm in front of the glass, separated by glass from Dylan. Jason's not here. We can do what we want. Substitute teacher, man. Popping a movie.
We were laughing, saying that you were going to be the adult in the room, and then you come in rocking ripped jeans, a My Chemical Romance shirt, and a Patagonia hat. So you actually are younger. You're the Pete Davidson of the show.
First of all, they're like my lawn jeans, right? They're work jeans.
Are you sure they're not your church jeans? Because
they're
holy.
Not my church, right? Yeah, that too. I got the tights on underneath because when I started working in the yard, it was like 43 degrees this morning. My Chemical Romance, it's the old band, man. They've been around for like 20 plus years, bud. They ain't new.
I guess that shows my age of what I think
they've
is
been. They've
is
been
young
around
music,
about as
yeah.
long as you've been around, buddy. Yeah. And then Patagonia, that's a young, is that a young brand? I feel like we've moved on from Patagonia. There's been other layers of, like, hats and stuff that come out. I don't know if there's...
It's Lululemon
is
now.
Is it Lulu yeah. now? Yeah, absolutely.
Which I guess really shows my age if I'm still yeah. back in the... Yeah.
Yeah. But I think... And, yeah, my Moen shoes.
Oh, wow. They don't even have laces.
No.
How do your feet not just fall out?
I don't know, man. Their shoes...
No. Pull him up. Let Dylan take a look. How does his feet stay in these?
Well, he's probably not sprinting while he's
running. No.
You've owned
that
shoes
lawnmower.
Without laces before, right?
Correct.
Okay,
but not tennis, like Vans. Like okay. tennis shoes, the tongue would fly open and then your every step you take.
Nah. Not all the time.
Oh man,
especially so, mowing shoes. That
mowing
is
shoes, baby.
Man,
that is the quintessential mowing shoe.
Yeah, you don't want
to
take your time. You're doing enough effort in the yard. You don't need to lace them up, man. Just slip them on. Let's go.
It's one step away from the garbage. Usually, is
they
your
are.
Shoe.
Oh
like,
yeah,
literally,
mine are one step
too,
from
one step away.
Exactly. Actually, mine are too. I have a little. They're literally next to them, like they're
yeah.
touching.
Just they know if they betray me. Where they're going.
Mine are very slick now because you know when you mow grass, the grass just in the dew and everything, it just there's no traction anymore. It's a flat surface. So if you try walking
and
in
all
the garage,
dog crap you've stepped on that's filled into the cracks in the bottoms,
the
of
crevices.
The shoes. Yeah,
yeah. Whenever you walk in the garage, it's like you're ice skating right there. You're
yeah.
trying not to tear your ACL out there. So it's a game that should be in the Olympics.
It's tough out here in the real world. I let my wife and my kids know that, hey, we had a big project today. We were tilling. I was tilling, and we were going to do a lot of mulching and some mowing and some killing of the weeds and all that stuff. Just basically went nuclear on a handful of flower beds. And so I let them know that when we'd be doing it and all that. And so I think, I did a pretty good job considering it was all me.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
It
would be more effort to kind of get my kids to help out than it is just to do it myself.
I remember that age, too. Your kids probably said something nice like, of course, Dad, we'll help you out. And then you're out there at 8 a.m. And where are they? They're asleep still.
No, they
still.
Never said
yeah.
that.
Oh, really?
It was just a text and just silence, crickets, and they hoped that I would maybe forget and... Whatever. No, they came out. They helped a little bit. So it was fine. But yeah. No, I remember being that age too. And I'm like, what? And then you get older. You realize you have responsibilities. And you have ownership, right? That's like, they're just, it's not their house.
They're
just
not
like,
even
they
renting.
Got a room
they're not
or
even
whatever.
Paying money.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they don't care.
They got no skin in the game.
They're squatters. It's like squatters' rights.
That's exactly
That's what
it.
Kids are. Yeah.
And pretty soon, the real world's going to slap in the face.
What's your,
I mean, they're 35 and 30. Those are their ages right now. Pretty soon, 40, 45, they're going to move out. Maybe.
Maybe. Well, then at that point, they got to take care of you.
Yeah. No, they're not. They're one's a tween. Gosh, he's 12 and 117.
Nice.
Yeah. So, anyway.
What's your lawn music when you're working on the lawn?
Oh, yeah.
You got to have a nice playlist.
The earbuds in. And it was just my playlist on my Apple Music. That's a new age thing, right? I pay for that. That's legit.
Come on now.
Any song that's ever been made, sure, I'll take it.
Steve Miller Band, I think, is a good choice. When you're doing yard work, Steve Miller Band with an ice-cold Busch Light is a great combination. Great combo.
Yeah, I didn't have the hands for the Busch Lights. I had some Kings of Leon. They have a great new song out. Yeah. Like a little Wyatt Flores, a little Zach Bryan, Hozier, a little Ryan Hurd. Yeah, lots of stuff. Those are actually newer.
They're newer bands
than My Chemical Romance. Yeah. So yeah, maybe I am hip.
You're the Pete Davidson of this show. You might be older, but you act younger.
Yeah. And then people just can't understand the women I date. How's that possible?
Yeah, this guy?
Yeah, he dates her?
Yeah. I liked how Shane waltzed in here beforehand with a big smile and laugh on his face. For those that don't know, here at Sports Radio 810, we have pictures on the wall. And
once every 10 years, the shows will get together. And they'll go, I think it's at a church, right? It's like an Owen Mills
setting. Yeah, we puff white smoke and different colored smoke out of the top of the
Yes, they go to a church and they get the pictures. Everybody dresses up in a suit, which is hilarious because even at funerals and weddings, you know, these radio guys wear suits. And then they take pictures.
Yeah.
And so the last one up there was Jason and Corey, which was a few years and a couple of hosts, co-hosts ago.
Just a couple. Yeah. And so I sent a picture to Shane. He's like, send me a picture. And I go, okay. So I sent a picture. He cut out a picture of me and put it on Corey's body. I've yet to see it, so I'll see it in the break. He said it was what nightmares are made of.
Yeah.
So.
And that's not the first time that would have been done on one of those photos, right? Isn't Jake superimposed his face
on there? He is, but we've gone from Jake being there originally and then through a few producers, and Jake's now back.
He's back,
so they didn't have to even change it. So that's got that going for him.
Yeah, you could just take pictures more often if you wanted to.
Yeah, but. Then they have to put on a suit. Do you think those people still wear suits?
I want to see the conversation that's had when somebody is telling Soren Petro to put on a suit.
Yeah, Petro, put on a suit and a tie, by the way.
And a tie.
Yeah. It's got to go over great. Go over very well.
It's probably one of those guys that never unties his tie. He just loosens it and hangs it on. Doesn't have to retie it.
Yeah. I had to learn in college, and that's the only reason why I know how to tie a tie. I know it one way. I can't do those fancy ties. That's not my style. I will say, we didn't come here to talk about ties. We came here to talk about wins, and that's what the Chiefs have been doing. Brett Veach talking about the NFL draft today.
Yeah.
I thought he had some pretty interesting conversations. I think the most interesting one, we talked to Matt Derrick earlier, but I'd love to get your thoughts on this. He talked about the NIL effect, how fourth, fifth, sixth round prospects are getting a little older now. They're staying an extra year in college. You know, the money's not that much different. Sure, it might be a four-year guarantee versus a one-year, but they're staying longer in college.
Yeah.
And that's all of a sudden making a drop-off, the drop-off line, which is, for him, he said the fourth, fifth, sixth round, a little more steep. Not as much depth in the current NFL draft. I didn't know your thoughts there, but I'd never even questioned what the NIL might have as far as players staying in college longer and affecting just the overall age coming in the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round.
Well, you've had that, and you've had the COVID year, which has been a redshirt year for a lot of these guys that they get back, right? And so a lot of these guys are playing five, sometimes more years of playing time on the field in college football, and when you can make a little scratch there, there's nothing like college football, right? And the camaraderie, and it's still innocent enough, right? And you're closer to amateurism enough, right? And it's not quite the business that it will be at the NFL level. And so you always see, you hear these pros all the time, whether it's NFL, MLB, or NBA, they'll be like, you know what, the best times I had were in high school and college. And yeah, it's great now, the money's and all that, but money is great and all that. But the camaraderie in the locker room and the bus rides and all that stuff, you can't replace that. And so I think a lot of guys realize that. And if you can make some scratch, and like you said, okay, if I'm a fifth-round pick, there's nothing guaranteed. Sixth, seventh, nothing guaranteed, especially if you're going to be an undrafted guy. Might as well stick around a year, see if you can up your draft stock. I'm not surprised by this. I may be a little bit surprised that we're seeing it already. We're seeing that cliff, that drop-off, that line move already in the NFL. And so we'll see once the kind of the COVID recruit babies. We're almost out of that zone, right?
One more year, I think, probably.
Roughly to where it hopefully stops affecting high school recruiting, and these college coaches can have a better idea of, okay, Eli Drinkwitz joked about it, like senior year is a moving target now, right? Because every senior day, right, for football, for basketball, whatever, it's like, okay, who's going to be out there? Which seniors are actually going to be seniors, right? Which seniors can play some more, right? And so it's kind of a moving target. And so I think hopefully we'll get past that here in the near future. But it all makes sense to me, man. And we'll see if we can see like that tangible effect on the field to where like, okay, oh man, these guys, you know, the back end of this team or these second stringers are just not good. I'll be surprised if we could see it there, but I believe Brett Veach, and if he's saying that line's moving, that line's moving.
Yeah, and I found it interesting because while it's also, sure, they're staying longer, so there might be a drop-off, part of me is sitting here going, but will there be a drop-off because a lot of the guys that are coming now have played four or five years, so maybe they're more NFL-ready or at least more, there's less ceiling.
Right, is the potential dropping off, right? Because it's always the younger guy that you're more excited about because you don't know where their ceiling
and
is.
And it's 1 year we're talking about.
As opposed to, the senior coming out. Oh, God, this 22-year-old's washed up. When in reality, now those, their ceiling, but they're also a lot of times better players. And I think we see that more in the NBA than we do in the NFL. But I think that's what he's getting at, is the potential there. That's dropping because all these guys, we know what the back of their baseball card is. We know what they are. And for whatever reason, these pro leagues kind of do shy away from that and treat these 22, even 23-year-olds like they're graybeards or something.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that he said the drop-off, all that stuff, the age, and then he goes, oh, yeah, I got 221 players on my draft board. 221 players.
That's about how many are drafted, right?
Veach's draft board. What, 7 times 32? We can do some math in the show, right?
Yeah, that's roughly 220, but
32... 224.
Yeah, but then there's
compensatory picks.
Maybe 250 picks, something like that.
But that's a lot. And part of the reason is he says he has guys on the board in round 6 and 7 that he knows these guys probably aren't getting drafted, but the UDFAs. He wants to get them in. He wants to take a look at them. He wants to know what he has, be on the line. I just thought that was interesting of the, come on now. There's a steep drop-off, but I have 221 players that I want to get my hands on.
What's their last pick? It's like 230-something. I can't remember, but wouldn't it be funny if all those guys were gone? And like, wait, we have nobody left on our board. And like, you're just calling up Ben Shirley.
Mick Schaefer, wow. You're getting a call, huh?
Yeah. It never works that way. But that's a lot of guys, and that's a lot of time they spend. And it seems like just an awesome job, doesn't it? Like, that's your job all year round. You just watch tape. You travel to Tuscaloosa, to Gainesville, right, to Austin. You just watch football, and you just meet with these guys, and then a bunch of other guys doing the same thing. You guys get together, and you compare your notes, and then you argue over who's better and all that stuff. And then you're just, I can see everybody's got their own little nameplate, right, and you're just moving these guys up and down the board. That seems like such a fun job.
It sounds awesome until you're traveling to Western Michigan when it's cold. It sounds great until you're in
Ypsilanti, or is it Eastern Michigan?
Either of the Eastern or Western Michigans. Yeah, I think you're out.
You know, yeah, but you know what? You're in a suite there. It's not like they're putting you out there in GA.
Maybe. But where you're staying and stuff and moving. My thought is it sounds great when you're going to, as you mentioned, the SEC schools, the Big 12, the Southern states when it's cold. You're like, oh, this is fun. And then you're like, no, man, we want you to go up, go to Wyoming, and I don't know, go there in December. Go have fun.
It's fine. I'm there. Let's do it. I don't mind.
Oh, really, you?
What's that? I'll do it. Yeah. Of course, they had the area scouts. It's not like you're going, you know,
I get
east
it,
to West Coast, depending on the week. But, yeah, no, make me your Nordic region, your Montana. I'll be your guy up there, man.
I'll scout the
few teams that play in Canada. How about that?
I'll be the South guy. I thought one of the more intriguing things Brett Veach said was Kadarius may be the most talented receiver, but it's all about health with him. And I'm sitting here going, did you
I don't agree with that.
I'm like, I get it, Brad. You got three Super Bowls in 5 years back to back. I trust you, but you didn't have to say these things about it. No one would have questioned you. If you said, yeah, you know, we hope he gets right, or we hope he gets better. We hope he might be around. You didn't have to say such glowing remarks about Kadarius Toney, because it wasn't just the health. When he was on the field, what did he show you?
He's not really a burner, right? He's not Tyreek Hill. I don't remember any plays making guys miss. He doesn't break tackles, right? And so when he's not catching the football, I don't know what good he does. And look, he had a great return in the Super Bowl, one of the all-time great Chiefs plays. But there are 10 other guys blocking for him on that play. And so, no, I don't believe any of that.
I just was surprised by it. And then he got to Sky Moore, and nothing negative about Sky, obviously. I didn't expect him to say anything negative about Kadarius, but it was just so glowing on Kadarius. You bring in Hollywood Brown, and you're still sitting here going, Kadarius might be the most talented receiver. You had what Rashee Rice did last year. You didn't have to say any of those things about KT. So my thought is, again, we talked to Matt Derrick about this, and he talked about how Tony's, you know, beloved in the locker room, the coaches love him, all this stuff. That's fine and dandy, but it just feels like there's such a disconnect. I mean, the last thing we saw from Tony was Mahomes basically saying, I just told him that was his last target. Then we had the whole postseason talk, and he was a healthy scratch, and, hey, I'm not injured. I'm not injured. I could go out there. Then he talks about how I was talking about the Giants he posted on his IG.
Yeah.
It just feels like such a headache for a guy who can't catch the rock. And as you mentioned, even when he does catch the ball, the production has not quite been there.
He must be the all-time best locker room guy, because after that video and after the drops, they're still defending him and they're still making excuses on why he should be on this team. And so, look...
Are they defending him or themselves?
Yeah, it's part of it, right? Good call. In that, no matter who was in their fold, and look, that's the culture you want for a team. You don't want any of these guys throwing their players under the bus, because that's what losing teams do, right?
Sure.
That's what they do in a lot of other places around the NFL. And, I mean, look, the temptation is there to do it. But these guys from Veach to Reed to guys like Travis Kelce, who's he's got to be the best teammate of all time, at least in front of the microphone of anybody out there. And so the Chiefs have that. And so that's a good thing. So we're kind of like, you know, we're complaining right now, but we kind of, I kind of get how it goes.
Again,
right?
I get it.
How about this? If all of that talk there translates to him being out there and getting 8 targets in week one of next year, and then that's when I'll be like scratching my head, like, what do we do? What are we doing here?
Yeah. Again, it wasn't the fact that they said good things. Yeah. It was the fact they kept going on and on. The positives and the glowing remarks were much more than I expected, and I think that's where I land. But we'll take a break. More Chiefs talk with Mick Schaefer after this. Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back into the zone. Wow, I like that little. It got me going. Instead of having the music underneath you when you come in, it punctuates the intro.
Was royalty free music there, Dylan?
Yes.
Well done. Why did not get fired?
Yeah. Yep. Sterling Holmes, Jason Anderson, Dylan Michaels behind the glass, Mick Schaefer with us. We were talking about our mice stories in the break, which was very entertaining. I don't know if it's like radio entertaining, but I enjoyed listening to you talk about catching mice.
Yeah. They were like, easy to catch, like with the sticky trays and everything, but there's always more of them. There's always, unless you gotta eventually just hire a professional.
Yeah. I got lucky one time. I had one and it ran into a popcorn bag. Like, you know, like those bags of popcorn, that these microwavable popcorn ran in. Lucky, I must have had a couple of adult beverages because I go, I know how I'm going to catch this mouse. I don't have anything at my place. I was like, watch, just go into a popcorn bag, and then I just got behind it after it ran in and just closed it.
Sure.
And it was terrifying because what do you think a mouse does when it's enclosed in a popcorn bag? Didn't move quite as much as I thought, and I just threw the whole entire thing outside. I go, I don't want to.
So the mouse got out and made its way back into your place.
Saw it again. It learned its lesson.
It learned its lesson.
That's all you have to do. It's all about being stern. And I was stern with that mouse.
I eventually got a professional to come in. I was like, you know, I've been using all these sticky traps and all this and the poison, all that I got from Walmart. He was like, buddy, if that stuff worked, I'd be out of a job. I'm like, oh, that's a good point right there. So, like, let me write you a check.
Yeah. Going back to the Chiefs, I thought Brett Veach had a few, again, more interesting tidbits. And this is me reading between the lines here. But I talked to Matt Derrick, and he actually agreed with me. He brought up a lot of deep receivers, a great receiver class. You can go deeper on the draft. A lot of good receivers. He said good defensive line depth later in the draft, right? But he goes, offensive line is good early and then tails off. My thought process is if the Chiefs are trading up, it's not for a receiver, it's not for a defensive line guy, not for an edge rusher, it's going to be for an offensive tackle. Now, I don't know if that's necessarily breaking news, but when he broke it down that way, and maybe it's because I'm reading between the lines here, and it's what I would want to have happen. That's what I gathered from his conversation to the media today.
That if they trade up, it would be for a tackle.
It's not going to be for a receiver or any other position. It's going to be for a tackle. When I hear receiving class is deep, defensive line depth is good later on the draft, and the other need they have is offensive tackle, and they go, O-line is good early and then tails off.
Sure.
That makes me think first round, or if they trade up, it's going to be a tackle. Do you agree, or am I reading too much into this?
Here's the deal. Once you do enough of these drafts, you'll realize what makes so much sense in the week where we are now leading up to the draft, and it's so obvious, never happens. It never happens, and they always take a D lineman. It's almost
Tyson Jackson.
I mean,
yep.
Every
Glenn
year,
Dorsey. Uh-huh.
I mean, the wide receivers have been in the top two of what people think they should do and go get, and how often have they taken a wide receiver as their first pick? I can't think of too many times. I mean, Sylvester Morse was a long time ago.
John Baldwin.
That was a long time ago as well. It seems like they always default to the defensive line. So that's what I always tell, like, my kids, hey, we're going to get a receiver. I'm like, yeah, maybe, but they'll get a D-lineman.
Yeah. Actually, it was hilarious. We did a mock draft, and I never do mock drafts because I was like, let's do one live. So that way
I can't. Yeah.
I went with Newton.
We apologize for that.
Yeah. No,
I went D-line. Yeah.
I knew some of the names in the first round, and then after that, I didn't.
That's why I sped through 4th through 7th, and that's why Dylan and I ended up arguing instead, because it was more fun to argue with him, even though we found out we're on the same page.
If you would have brought up anybody in rounds 4 through 7 to me, I'm like, yes, absolutely. That person from that school sounds great at that position.
What we should have done, Dylan, and now I'm kicking myself, I should have done, is this a real player? Or is this a made-up name from like rounds 5 on? That'd be really good.
Next week.
Now, we still have time, right?
Time.
No, we don't. Oh, we'll get it on Monday or Wednesday.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, we got next week.
Don't do any research.
Back in the day when I was slumming it on the Saturday show, Saturday morning, Sunday mornings back in the day, we used to play a game. Josh was behind the glass. We played a game called Mixed Childhood Friend. And so basically say that, like, the Phillies were coming to town. Nobody knew any Phillies outside of, like, one or two dudes. I would say, okay, is this guy a Philadelphia Philly or one of Mixed Childhood Friends? And it was hard. A lot of people, Josh, because that's who we played with, got him wrong a lot.
Well, if there's one guy that knows a lot of baseball players, it would be Briscoe.
That's what I would pigeonhole him as. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
I'd say
but
there's
it would be
one
everybody.
Sport.
We would just, you know, football teams, you know, UFC fighters, anybody, and usually you're batting below 500.
Yeah, you're getting me.
But then
with
I'm
UFC.
From a town. I'm from a town of 1,000 people, so I ran out of friends. So the game ended at that point.
Mm.
There's only so many.
Well, I would assume 1,000, but
no, I wasn't friends with everybody. I mean, there was train tracks there.
About 12.
The other side of the tracks.
About
yeah.
12 friends, maybe.
Yeah,
is that pushing it?
Between
or?
12 and 1,000.
It
yeah.
lasted about 2 minutes. It lasted. It was very quick, wasn't it? Yeah.
What, my childhood or the game?
The game, because.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. Come back. Cuts up next on The Zone. Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to The Zone. Sterling Holmes, no Jason Anderson. Dylan behind the glass, Mick Schaefer with us. You can follow me on the X at HomestretchKC. There was a massive album drop. Yeah. Massive, Mick.
Yeah.
Pearl Jam. Yeah, it was Pearl Jam. Dark Matter by Pearl Jam.
So I was listening to that last night and this morning. My daughter was listening to Taylor Swift's album drop.
Mm.
So it was a lot like Barbenheimer.
Yeah.
Taylor Jam.
Pearl Swift.
Pearl, that can work.
That could work.
Workshop well, these.
You put Pearl first because
it's the best.
And they're earlier. Like Pearl Jam came before Taylor. So that way you didn't have to rile anyone up.
Like the year Taylor was born is like one of their big years kind of moving on up.
Yeah.
89.
I like Pearl Jam. I was more of a Alice in Chains guy myself, more of a Soundgarden man of that grunge era.
I'll allow it.
Yeah.
My buddy says there's only four true grunge bands.
Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, Nirvana, Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
And then Seattle. Those are the main four.
Yeah.
I think the only one I'll entertain.
Mudhoney?
Close. Stone Temple Pilots. I don't know if you can consider them. They're almost
don't
at the
that
tail.
Around a lot of Pearl Jam fans.
Because
they're
I get
not,
it, I
they're
get
not
it.
From Seattle, though, right?
Yeah.
No, I love STP. But yeah, it's they're Eddie's from California, but the core of the band of Pearl Jam is from Seattle.
Yeah. If I ever sang karaoke, that's what I would go to. Is Eddie Vedder Even Flow? Because I feel because I can't really sing. And this is not a knock. I love Pearl Jam, but you can kind of get that
get
goat
that
sound.
Picture,
that I'm not going to do it right now because I don't want to, you know, show you up over. Of
sure,
course.
Yeah. I would sing Yellow Ledbetter because it's all just a bunch of mumbling, and I would love to see the words to it. Like what are the words actually? Which I've looked up.
It's like when you listen to The Police or Sting, and you only understand the last three words.
Right. Yeah.
And you have no idea what he's saying. And you're just like, oh, brand new day. It's a brand new day.
Ledbetter, that's the quintessential like 90s. Just kind of moaning and not really enunciating any of the words. So.
No. Well, why would you enunciate?
No need to.
No need to.
It's not cool back then.
No, it was not. But you could understand Layne Staley and Alice in Chains.
Absolutely.
Because I think you only said a certain amount of words.
Yeah.
Like, you look at the lyrics to Rooster, there's like 12. Like, there's like 12 words. And you're like, wow, that's a 4.5 minute long song.
Yeah.
How'd you get 12 words in? That's all he needs.
Man in the box.
Yeah. Wood. Angry chair.
Mm-hmm.
Nutshell, I think, has 9.
That's it.
I don't know. Probably a little bit more. But it's close. I'm not even being that hyperbolic right now. All right. Royals, they're at home against Baltimore. Second time against the Orioles. Alec Marsh on the mound.
Like 6 teams in Major League Baseball now?
Apparently because
the same teams
over
and over again.
They play Baltimore twice in the span of like 9 days too, because why would you not spread that one out?
Sure, the Twins are coming up again.
Yeah. Alec Marsh, 2-0, 4.32 ERA. He's been solid so far. Again, we're laughing. Cole Reagans, when Cole's on the mound, the offense is like, no, we don't want to perform. But you want to get the offense going. They're in a slump. You know what you do? Throw Alec Marsh out there because the offense goes, oh, it's Marsh.
Yeah.
We're scoring 9.
Yeah, no, poor Cole Reagans. He's a true ace because he's getting no run support.
Dean Kramer on the mound for the Orioles, 0-1, 4.96 ERA. He's a solid guy. You know when we did the ZOUs?
Mm-hmm.
I took the under on Cole Reagans for the exact reason. I go, he's going to have the best ERA, and he's going to get like 8 wins.
Which I think his ERA is great, but I think he's third best, right? Singer gave up a couple runs. At one time, Singer was like 0.98 last week, and then you had Lugo, which I believe is under one as well. I mean, it's just, It's been great so far, the starting pitching. And so 12-7 is great, don't get me wrong, but I feel like it could easily be 14-5, or they could have two or three more wins than what they have now based on the starting pitching.
I would agree, but the one pushback I have is we always talk about the games that they
and
we never talk about the one that Salvi hit.
Yeah, yeah.
Cole Reagans does have a 1.93, Singer 1.54, Lugo 1.05, Waka 3.75, and then Alec Marsh 4.32.
Waka, the failure of the five so far. Yeah. And he's in the threes.
He's trending up right now, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they've been great. Marsh has been great as a fifth starter. Are you kidding me? That 4 ERA as a fifth starter? Sign me up.
Still waiting to hear the move after you saw Nick Lofton sitting down to AAA. Yeah, it's going to be Michael Massey. Michael Massey. But again, is it going to be Drew Waters? Is Drew Waters getting the call?
He was
up?
Out of the lineup too, yeah. Right? Yeah.
My opinion is I hope so. I've been a Drew Waters guy for a long time.
Than they've had.
Or Isbell gets sent down if they're going cutthroat with it. Or is there a phantom IL stint for a player who's scuffling? Could be.
I think Massey at least.
Massey at least.
He's been killing it. Get those at bats up here in the big leagues.
All right, Mick.
Yep.
Guess what it's time for?
To end the show?
Well, with cuts.
More yard work?
Yeah.
Oh, it's time for cuts?
No, it's not time for cuts. I lied. Show's over. Program next.